Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Illinois Farm Economics Summit in DeKalb, I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of December 2017. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, will join us to discuss the price of corn and soybeans going forward and the grain stocks number as he predicts or thinks it may come out and what it will look like on the 12th day of January. Maybe we'll also discuss a bit at that point exactly how he thinks the January crop production numbers could change the corn yield and consequently total production for the year. As we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. Mark Russo will be here from Respulse out of Chicago, and we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County as well. That all happens on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon, March corn today down a half cent at $3.47, the May at $3.55 and a quarter, half of a cent lower, July at $3.63 and three quarters, down a half, and December unchanged at $3.80. January beans down five and three quarters at $9.61 and a half, the March at $9.72 and a half, five and a half lower, and the May futures at $9.83 and a quarter, down five and three quarters. July soybean beans at $9.93 and a half, down 5.5 cents, and next year's November at $9.82 and a half, 5 1/4 lower. Bean futures in the oil down 14 cents at $33.02, and the bean meal down $2.10 at $3.18.50. Soft red winter wheat, the March contract up 2 1/4 at $4.20 and a half, the May at $4.33 and a half, 2 3/4 higher, and July, that's the harvest month for the soft red, at $4.46 and 3/4, up 2 3/4. The hard red July finished at $4.48 and a quarter, 2 cents higher for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago, December contract $1.07 and a half higher at $119.97 and a half. February down 42 and a half at $120.60. Feeders in the January at $147.65, 10 cents lower for 100 pounds. In the March contract for the feeder cattle at $142.25, down 30 cents for the day. The lean hogs in the February at $67.40, $1.12.5 lower. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Here's what some of the outside markets are trading like at this hour. January crude oil at $57.16 a barrel, down 15 cents. Ethanol futures about 0.7 cents higher at $1.26.09. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.92.08. That's up 2.5 cents. Gasoline on the RBOB, 1.7 cents higher at $1.67.02. And natural gas for the day at $2.75.04, 14.2 cents higher. Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 24,806. That's up 129 points. The U.S. dollar at 93.575 is down 0.354. And gold futures on the afternoon at $1,261.40, up $7.10. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Partly cloudy skies, a low of 38 degrees on a southwest wind at 10 to 14, gusting to 17. And tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high of 54. West winds to the southwest at 7 to 13, turning to the northwest in the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 17 miles an hour tomorrow. And then tomorrow evening, partly cloudy, a low of 29 degrees. Northwest winds at 5 to 7. Wednesday, sunny, a high of 44. East-northeast winds at 68. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 28. East-northeast winds at 7 miles an hour. They'll turn to the southeast after midnight. And then on Wednesday evening, partly cloudy, a low of 28 degrees. Thursday, sunny and 50. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy and 41. Friday, a chance of rain, cloudy and 53. Friday night, rain and snow are likely before 1 a.m. Then a chance of rain between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m., mostly cloudy and a low of 28 degrees. Saturday, sunny and 38. And on Sunday, mostly cloudy and a high of 35. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of this half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason, coming to you from Ferranda's Banquet Center in DeKalb, Illinois, at the Illinois Farm Economic Summit. This is the first of our five events. If you'd like to visit with us, you can do that. It's easy enough. We'll be in Peoria tomorrow, in fact, at the Paradise Hotel and Conference Center there in the hotel. And you can just walk in. Registration is $75. We open the doors at 7:45 a.m. in Springfield on Wednesday. Thursday, we'll be in Southern Illinois in Carlisle. And on Friday, we'll be right back there in Champaign, Illinois at the iHotel. Find the details online at willag.org and then farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You joining us now to talk about the commodity markets is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Hey, Kurt, thanks for being with us today.
Well, you're quite welcome, Todd. Glad to be able to visit with you.
Well, I've been busy here today. We've got about 172 in the audience, a nice turnout in DeKalb, Illinois, but I've not paid a lot of attention to what's been happening in the marketplace. And just so folks know, you and I are talking prior to the close, not too long before the close, but about 15 minutes. So what happened throughout the day today?
Well, if you're bullish, you're not missing anything today. Quite a bit of spread unwinding, selling beans, buying corn, selling beans, buying wheat. It's kind of the main feature. That spread's been very, very popular here for the last 2 years. And as we approach year end here, I think we're seeing a little squaring on that. But the catalyst to cause this spread unwinding, particularly selling the beans, is Brazil and Argentina both received some decent rains over the weekend. And I don't mean heavy rains, but enough rain in some areas to take the edge off on the concern about dryness. Then the midday weather maps for Argentina confirm that there's some additional rain on the way for the next week. So it's kind of a weather-driven market, and beans not able to hold the low we made about a month ago sort of generated some follow-through selling. Market's becoming incredibly oversold, so I imagine here by midweek here we can find some type of stability as we start to approach the holiday trading. Shortened weeks over the next 2 weeks as we go into next week.
So we have talked a lot about the end of the year and then the expiration of the December corn contract and whether it would the March would march lower to meet that expired price. I'm wondering whether you've considered what will happen over the next couple of weeks and whether this is a place where we just have general weakness and we might find some strength as we move into January, or whether we've got more weakness yet to come, especially for the corn market.
Yeah, that's a great question, because December went off the board there at 336. And when you look at the high trade for that week in corn, it's about 440 and three quarters. March futures are at 447. So the fear would be that this March could roll down and kind of close at least the gap of the trade during that whole week. The thing is we're just not seeing a lot of positive news fundamentally to avoid that type of trade in through here. And it's kind of fallen in place. The basis has firmed. But however, with the carry in the marketplace, for those that went ahead and stored and hedged the carry, it's working kind of perfect here for some downside protection until we get some type of fundamental catalyst here to get some legs underneath the corn market. Informa did raise their corn yield slightly there last week, so the ideas are as we go into January in here, if we don't see a big drawdown in the stocks report, we could probably see a slightly higher production number. So hams are starting to plug in a little higher carryout number, particularly with the corn exports, just a little bit on the slow side starting out due to the southern hemisphere's competition here short term.
What do you think about the acreage in the United States for the upcoming year?
Boy, I tell you, that's a good topic, and I'm getting mixed opinions on it because some of the crowds dead set will see slightly higher bean and corn acres due to some lower wheat acres. Others, you know, are promoting the profitability point where they're pushing the pencil and finding beans are a little bit more profitable and a little bit less risk. So we'll see an increase of 1 to 1.5 million acres of beans and by 500,000 acres less of corn. So I think acres are going to be strong in general. I don't know if anybody's really thrown in the cards and not planting anything at all. These acres are going to be planted. It's just we'll probably won't get a good handle on it until we get into spring. When we see the actual weather pattern, if the weather pattern's good, I think we'll see the traditional bump in corn acres slightly. And we'll just have to see what comfort zone these guys are in as we go into spring.
What's on the livestock side of the ledger this week?
Hurry up and wait. Christmas hams are in the warehouse, so we'll see how these hams unfold in through here. Per capita consumption of meat remains high. We've got big numbers of red meat in general, so it's kind of hurry up and wait. The thing is, this weather forecast is mild, so we're seeing some weight gain start to be an issue. And the thing we need to watch as we get past first year is the weather, particularly if we see some type of conditions where it's real, real cold, or as we move into spring, see if we see muddy feedlots or not, to give the market some excitement to the upside. But it feels like the meat complex in general is just caught sideways here until we get into 2018.
Hey, speaking of 2018, that's the next time I'll get a chance to talk with you, Kurt. We appreciate you being with us and all the work you do for Illinois Public Media.
Well, appreciate that, Todd. It's a blast and educational process working with you guys, and I think y'all do a great job, and looking forward to 2018.
All right, that, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, traveling with the agricultural economist on the Illinois Farm Economics Summit this week. You can join us for the rest of the week if you want. Tomorrow we'll be at the Paradise Hotel and Conference Center there in Peoria, and then in Springfield at the Crown Plaza on Friday at Brett's Wildlife and Winery there in Carlisle on Thursday, and back at the I Hotel and Conference Center on Champaign on Friday. Registration is $75. Welcome for walk-ins, and you can show up at about 7:45 a.m. We're traveling all week long with Todd Hubbs. He, of course, takes a look at commodity markets for us, and he's written another article that you can read online right now if you'd like at the Farm Doc Daily website, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, taking a look at the grain stocks report, or that which will be coming out on the 12th day of January. This tallies how much corn and soybeans might be left in the bin at this point as of December the 1st. What are you telling producers and others about the grain stocks report and projections?
Well, as you know, Todd, we have pretty good data on ethanol grind for corn and exports for corn. What really comes out in the December 1st grain stocks report is feed and residual consumption, which we don't track normally. If the USDA current projection is correct, you know, we're going to see feed and residual use around 2.3 billion bushels in the December 1st grain stock. And if that's the case, you know, I'm shooting at around 12.2 billion bushels of stocks on December 1st. You know, if we saw a larger number than that, that would have good implications for pulling down some of the carry out we saw. The other thing about grain stocks, which comes out on January 12th, is we'll get a final estimate of the 2017 corn crop. Right now the yield's at 174.5. You know, could we see that yield come down a little bit? Maybe. It's hard to say at this point. You got to take them for your word, but you know, there's a possibility there, which would also lower the carryout for 16-17 and change the December 1st corn stocks number. So, you know, for the first part of the market, first quarter of the marketing year, 17-18, the bright spot's been ethanol grind for corn. We've been averaging over 1 million barrels a day for weeks now. It's been an impressive display. We're starting to see ethanol exports pick up. I'd like to see some more out of China. But really, I mean, as far as December 1st stocks are concerned, any kind of miss or lower number is going to be involved with feed and residual. And, you know, based on the expansion we've seen in a lot of the livestock inventory numbers, you know, you expect that to be a pretty strong number, or I expect that to be a pretty strong number in the first quarter.
There has been some chatter within the trade that things are feeling better for them. They're thinking that there might be some optimism in the corn market, the soybeans as well. Any reason from your point of view to get very excited about either of those marketplaces?
Wow, that's a tough question, Todd. I'm not excitable by nature. I would say I'm more excited about what's going on in the corn market than in the soybean market. Main reason being the soybeans. You know, we saw acreage expansion in both Brazil and South American soybeans. It looks like their weather's coming in. I think that 49.5, even if we're not at that yield for soybeans in 2017, I doubt it's much lower than that. We just saw the USDA pull back export numbers in soybeans, 25 million bushels. The export inspection numbers have been tracking about 14% behind last year. So I don't want to say I'm pessimistic about soybeans, but I wouldn't say I'm over the moon about the prospects of, you know, a run in soybeans unless we get some kind of weather threat in South America in the near term, or we see a real expansion in export markets in soybeans, which, I mean, it's been strong, but we expect it to be strong this time of year. This is our time. Corn? The corn market, the export market's been lagging. We're not doing the pace I would like to see us to do. I still believe we're going to get to the USDA's number, and actually, as you know, I've got a higher number than USDA does for corn exports. The ethanol production's been great. We really need the ethanol export markets to be there for us. With the Brazil tariff rate quota, we need China and some other places to come in. So there is some optimism for corn, but the large ending stocks for 2016-17 and the size of the current 2017 crop, you know, we've got these inventories hanging over the prices, and we might be seeing it in a range for a while.
One final thing from you, Todd. You talked about some numbers. It's related to price projections for old and new crop. Where do you think we stand from this point forward on that old crop number? USDA, of course, has their projections. Are you in a brighter picture for the end of the marketing year and what producers are able to reap or not?
I think I'm about on par with them with soybeans, maybe a little bit lower, but I'm higher than them on corn. I feel like the demand's going to be there as we move through the rest of the marketing year. You know, as we move through the early part of the year, January 12th is going to be a big day across the board for where we're at on a lot of corn and soybeans. And then we're going to start talking about planting. And for 2018, like, how many acres are we going to have in corn and soybeans? I think that's going to be go a long way in determining what kind of price structure we see in 18 for both crops. And yeah, I'm a little more optimistic on corn price. I've got a marketing average year price at $3.30 for corn and about $9.20 for soybeans. Here in Illinois, those would both be higher depending on where you're at. But that's for the whole nation. So, yeah, I'd say about the same to a little lower on soybeans, higher on corn.
Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. Let's now turn our attention to what's been happening in the cash grain side of the marketplace. Greg Johnson is here from the Andersons in Champaign County. Hey, Greg, thanks so much. Hope you've been having a good holiday season so far.
It's been nice. We've missed the snow that they've had up north, and that doesn't disappoint me a bit.
Hey, speaking of missing, did producers and others miss a real opportunity with the soybeans when it went above $10 more than a week ago now?
It was one opportunity, hopefully of several. South America is just now getting their beans planted, so we've got another 3 months of the whole growing season to go through before we know for sure what they've got. But, you know, anytime it gets to $10, we can make money selling $10 beans, and we think that's a good place to sell beans. I'm not sure that we're done, but if we get another chance to do that again, then obviously we think that's a good place to sell. And, you know, with 3 months to go in the whole growing season, and it's a La Nina year, I saw one private forecaster raise the odds of 80% now hotter and drier for South America. So, you know, there's still chances and opportunities, but we just need to take advantage of those, I think.
Did producers do a good job marketing old crop soybeans on that last run, and did they make any new crop sales?
Very few new crop sales, and they had a good chunk. They had over half of the old crop beans sold, so we didn't see a big upturn. I think they feel like they've sold enough beans percentage-wise for the time being, but we did buy a few, maybe 10%. More old crop beans, so maybe we're up to 60% now. So it wasn't a lot, but the one that really, you know, farmers would love to see increase would be the corn market. I think we're still sitting on, you know, 70% of the old crop corn, and that's the one that doesn't look like it has much oomph in it.
Yeah, and likely bin doors are just shut now through the end of the year, right?
Yes, farmers aren't selling because they don't like the price. Traders know the crop is out there, so they don't want to run the price up. In fact, Informa came out last week with their yield estimate for the January 12th USDA report, and it's a bushel higher than what it was in November. So, you know, the crop may get even bigger, so that lends even more reason to not buy corn from a fund point of view. So you've got very little interest in buying, very little interest in selling, and as a result, the market is kind of stuck in this very narrow trading range, and basis seems to be having to do most of the work to get corn moving at these prices.
And has it done much work? I don't think so on the farmer side, but maybe it's done more as it relates to rail and your ability to move crop out of the elevator.
Yeah, we're starting to see a slight uptick. I think bean basis has improved 10 cents over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Corn basis only 2 or 3 cents, which is about, you know, the cost of storage, 3 cents a month. So, but at least it is improving. And so, you know, for farmers that have stored corn on farm, you know, the bins are picking up that carry. But for grain in the elevator, it's just kind of a wash. You're picking up 3 or 4 cents a month in basis improvement, but you're paying 3 cents in DP and storage charges to get that. So it's just a big wash is all it is.
Hey, Greg, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Greg Johnson. He is with the Andersons.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, inviting you to join me on the road this week out with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, traveling with the agricultural economist, including folks that you hear regularly here, Jonathan Kappas, along to talk about agricultural policy. Gary Schnitke will be with us, Scott Irwin, Todd Hubbs. We'll also have Dwight Robb and Dale Latz with us, and Nick Paulson. It should be a great morning each and every day this week for you to join us, and you can start tomorrow in Peoria if you'd like. We'll be at the Paradise Hotel and Casino. That's there in Peoria, Illinois. Registration is still open, at least if you walk in. The cost is $75, and you're welcome. At 7:45 a.m. again, we'll be in Peoria tomorrow at the Paradise Hotel and Conference Center. 7:45 a.m. in Springfield at the Crown Plaza on Wednesday. Thursday will be down in Carlisle, Illinois at Bratz, and that's a wildlife and winery area, and a different place than we normally are because usually we're in Mount Vernon, so we'll be in Carlisle there. And then we'll wrap things up on Friday in Champaign County at the iHotel and Conference Center. Again, the cost is just $75. Walk-ins are welcome. We open our doors at 7:45 a.m. When we come back, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. We'll talk with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago.
It's National Roast Suckling Pig Day. A suckling pig is a young pig that has only been fed on its mother's milk. Traditionally, the dish is roasted, and the skin is valued for pork rinds. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, New Jersey became the third state to enter the United States. New Jersey's many truck farms, orchards, and flower gardens give the state its nickname, the Garden State. In 1865, slavery was abolished in the United States. The 13th Amendment proclaimed neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, save as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist in the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. At the time of its ratification, slavery remained legal only in Delaware, Kentucky, and Missouri. By the way, Illinois was the first state of the Union to ratify the amendment, passing it on February 1st of 1865. Also in 1865, the first U.S. cattle importation law was passed, and in 1991, the International Project to Save the Brazilian Rainforest was launched. The controversial initiative attempted to stem new logging and ranching in the Amazon. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Mark Russo is now here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Hey, Mark, thanks for being with us for the day.
Yeah, glad to be here, Todd.
Let's start in South America with the weather forecast for Argentina.
Yeah, well, one of the main headlines, not only with the forecast, but looking at past weather with some of the strong storms that developed across portions of the Argentina corn and soybean belt this past weekend, as we saw portions of Cordoba, Santa Fe, Entre Rios, even eastern Buenos Aires pick up amounts in excess of 1 inch and even some localized totals above 2 inches. Just prior to those rains, we did see very hot temperatures too across Argentina, with high temperatures climbing into basically the 100 degree level, and that was pretty widespread across the entire belt. Now, turning attention to the forecast, there will be some additional opportunities for rain in Argentina, especially as we go through this week and the timing of those opportunities. That's tomorrow night into early Wednesday. And then again on Friday night into Saturday would be the time frames where there will be some more thunderstorm activity. Now, coming up, it looks like the main rains will be developing over the same areas that picked up rains over the weekend. So Cordoba, Santa Fe, Entre Rios, they look to be the main recipients of the upcoming rains. It's La Pampa and then western Buenos Aires. Those are the areas that missed out on the weekend rains and look like they will continue to miss out with the significant totals coming up this week. So overall, again, some improvement, but we're not fully eliminating the dryness across Argentina, but certainly they're in better shape now compared to what they were just even a few days ago.
Not out of the woods. What do you think their prospects of fully coming for a recovery might be?
There's still some time here, Todd. As we look out into the early part of January, overall there will be, again, some limited rainfall opportunities. And again, it's a question of how much rain falls in those opportunities and where exactly does it fall? And can it hit those dry pockets here? If we were able to go through the next several weeks and La Pampa and Buenos Aires begin to be more involved, then that should overall limit any kind of significant issues going into the middle part of January.
We haven't recently had worries for Brazil. Is there anything developing there?
Not at this time, Todd. Southern Brazil, while they've been on the dry side the past couple of weeks, that's in the process of changing here this week. And bottom line is no red flags are seen in Brazil as overall rain activity looks to keep crop conditions favorable going into the early part of January.
We have a little sunshine and it's been a bit warmer in our part of the world. What are the expectations for change?
Yeah, this rest of this week is certainly quite mild here across actually much of the country. That is going to change in a big way as we get to the Christmas holiday, as we do see much colder Arctic air moving into the middle of the country, expanding east and south. And so that needs to be watched from actually a winter wheat winter kill risk here with some extreme cold moving into, both the Plains hard red belt and the Midwest softer, but more so of a Plains risk because that crop is not established very well here going into winter.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
Yeah, my pleasure, Todd.
All right, you have a good Christmas. That, of course, is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon from Ferrandas. That's in DeKalb, Illinois, at the Illinois Farm Economic Summit. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.